What is going on, Jobber Nation, and welcome back to another episode of Jobber Club Podcast with your host Vogel and the face who runs the place, Tyler Face. Face, what's how's up? It going, man?
What's up, buddy?
Not much. Same thing, different day. Here to talk about some wrestling that's happened over the past week or so, and you know, just have a good time. Guys being guys, you know. So, yeah, man, I know you've been busy this past week, but, you know, we've been talking about it, talking it over, and it seems like we're all on the same page here with some of the events that's happened, not only in AEW, but WWE as it is. We've got some storylines progressing, it seems like, a lot in WWE, especially with Mania season coming up. And, yeah, so I think we should just jump right in and talk about WWE news.
Let's go.
First, we're gonna have a little special treat for all of Jobber Nation. I don't know if a lot of you have seen this new trailer that will be coming out for Bray Wyatt's documentary coming to Peacock on April 1st called Bray Wyatt Becoming Immortal, but they just recently released that documentary trailer, so we're gonna go ahead and play that for you guys real quick as soon as I can get that up for everybody. All right. Oops, I gotta click this first. All right, so I'm pretty excited for it. I have not seen it personally myself, so we'll see. This is the first time for us watching it all together, I guess.
Let's go.
All righty, we're gonna go ahead.
Wrestling is not a love story. It's much. It's hope. A great man once said that.
I want to be just like my dad. I want him to be in the WWE.
Wrestling was his life. That was his art.
I'm watching this.
Yeah.
It was like this whirlwind of ideas at all times.
Do I have your attention now?
The dad he was. He was the best at it.
Bray Wyatt was chaos, the ultimate villain. We cried together. We laughed together.
When the lights went out, 100,000 people had their phones up.
That's fucking cool, dude.
I'm here. You're here. We're all here.
Wow, dude, that looks pretty dope.
Wow, that is real. I mean, I got chills just watching it. I mean, it's definitely going to be a good documentary. I mean, I hope it's. I don't know if it's just going to be all one episode or if it's going to be broken down into multiple.
I think it might be a 6 or 8 episode type deal.
I would honestly like that. Yeah, it would. I mean, especially with some of the docuseries that you have already out, you know, it would just only make sense to have it be a little bit longer.
Right.
So, yeah, we just that's going to be really interesting to see, you know, all the interviews from all the past superstars and even current superstars. And it's nice to even see that JoJo is going to be in the documentary, his wife. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, that behind the curtain a little bit more into his personal life, you know, how he was as not just a wrestler, but as a husband, as a brother, as a son, you know. Hopefully we get to see all that, too.
Yeah.
I'm
super sick. I'm pretty down to watch it. I'm down. This is a quick idea. So why don't we watch it on Discord with fans? Throw our Discord up here, and our Discord's not the biggest yet, but we can throw it up there. And watch it.
Exactly. Yeah, we can do that. You know, have people come by and watch it, and do like a little stream party for it. If not that night, sometime after it's been shortly released. You know, and yeah. That way we can get everybody's opinion on it, because I think it's gonna be really good. And honestly, it's a shock that he's not actually being inducted into the Hall of Fame so far that we know of.
I thought I thought he already did.
Mm-mm. No, he was not in the Hall of Fame for anything yet. Okay. So
I thought he was.
Maybe if he is, I don't know. Maybe be a last second inductee, but I think they already have majority of who they want this year in the Hall of Fame already announced. All right, moving on. The Rock, or should I say Hollywood Bloodline Rock, made an appearance yet again on Friday Night SmackDown, coming out to his old Hollywood Rock theme song and graphics. Proceeded not to cut a promo, but also cut a trademark Rock promo and song. Ended up saying that Cody was a mistake. His whole entire thing's been Cody's been a mistake, given the age differences between him and his siblings. But I don't know about you, Face, but it seems like some of the best promos that The Rock has ever cut have been in song.
Late in the evening, she's wondering what clothes to wear. She puts on her makeup. She brushes her short black hair. And then she'll ask me, do I look alright? And I said, no, biatch, you look horrible tonight.
So most of the best promos he's ever done has always been like super insulting, but it's fucking yes. awesome.
Yes. Exactly, and like I think
you can't take anything to heart with WWE. So
exactly, yeah, it's gonna be all fun and games. Exactly, and but I think the promo was also kind of dissing or you know going after Roman Reigns a little bit too. We have seen in the past, especially with The Rock acknowledging Roman Reigns and becoming part of the Bloodline, him doing the little loser, and then before he did the yeah, exactly, yep, before he switched it to the one. But Roman Reigns was also 15 years younger than his sibling, who was none other than the late, great Rosie of 3 Minute Warning.
Mm.
So, I mean, that's kind of a jab at both ends right there. I mean, he's doing stuff that's, you know, kind of going both ways right now. We don't know if The Rock's fully sided with Roman or if he's just going to do his own thing and just right. be The Rock, you know. I don't know. You know, it just seems something that's going to further progress.
This is candy ass and rock bottom his ass.
Followed by the people's elbow.
Fuck yeah.
but yeah, it's going to progress. And we don't know, you know, how much of a factor The Rock will be. You know, we know he's going to be somewhat of a factor night one, because obviously with a tag team match. But night two, when it's Cody versus Roman for the championship. Do you think that The Rock is just going to say, fuck it, like you said, and just, you know, rock bottom Roman or something like that? Or do you think he's actually going to play full storyline and stick with the Bloodline?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Because, honestly, this would not be the first time he has fucked over a faction when it's come to WrestleMania. At WrestleMania 14, The Rock took over the Nation of Domination and threw Farouk out as their leader. And Farouk, as we all know, was Ron Simmons.
You're Damn. Not wrong. Holy shit, that's been a long time.
Exactly. So, I mean, and the faction didn't last too much longer after he did boot Farouk out, because they're mostly focusing on giving The Rock his solo run after that, because he wasn't Rocky Maivia anymore. He was The Rock. And he had this whole new persona, gimmick, and all that, so... It would be interesting to see if he does overthrow Roman and this becomes the new tribal chief, quote unquote.
I think if he does defeat Roman, it's not. I think the Bloodline is finally over. They're going to try to stay together, but I don't really think it's going to happen. So, yes, I'm putting that in stone right now. Rock's going to rock bottom Roman.
Okay. So you said, I'm just gonna bring it up too. You know, you said that the Bloodline losing that's gonna destroy the blood. I mean, Roman losing is gonna destroy the Bloodline, and they're not gonna become a thing, even though they're gonna try to. Who do you think is gonna be the first one that's gonna exit out of the Bloodline? Because besides The Rock, since he would be the head of it, and then, you know, because, you know, he rock bottom Roman, do you think it's going to be Roman? Or do you think it's going to be, I think it's honestly, hear me out here, Solo Sikoa.
What's the follow-up answer for that?
Because he's Roman's right-hand man.
Ooh.
If your leader loses and your right-hand man, you're just going to say, fuck it. He doesn't mean shit to me. Let me go ahead and leave anyways. Let me start my own thing.
Ooh, and it's not I was like thinking solo. The brother.
Oh, Jimmy?
Jimmy, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I honestly, I can't tell them apart still after all these years. I can't remember.
I just know the name. They're Jimmy and Jay. I can't tell you which Jimmy one is which.
Yeah, exactly. I liked it better when they first started off and they had the face paint half.
Yeah,
because
one was because right, you could tell,
yeah,
then
you
could
tell them,
like,
yeah,
who is who.
Exactly, yeah. But I still can't tell them apart to this day, honestly. but speaking of history repeating itself, and speaking of Jimmy and Jay Uso, we will be having a, when you think of WrestleMania and the history of it and the great repeats that we have in history, such as The Rock versus Stone Cold, Cena versus The Rock, we have to wait 15 years, it seems like, to get these types of matchups, but it's finally brother versus brother again at WrestleMania.
Which
we will be seeing Jimmy versus Jay. I don't know. Because if you want to do storyline, because if you're thinking of breaking up the bloodline, it would make sense for, you know, Jimmy to, not Jimmy, but Jay to win. Or who, yeah.
Jimmy yes. is in the bloodline. Jay is yes. not.
All right. So it makes sense for Jay to win then.
But I kind of think if Jimmy loses, he'll go partner up with Jay again. I kind of see that might happen. You know how it happens. They
honestly,
split the brothers up for a few years, then they get back together and come back. They
yeah,
did
we've
Jeff
seen
Hardy
it.
And Matt Hardy.
And they did it with Owen Hart and Bret Hart.
Yep.
Them so, two. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know, honestly, because if you look at it, if you think about bringing them back as a tag team, I think that they have to almost in a way, because the way that the tag team division right now already is, especially with the belts being unified still, I don't see you having good enough tag teams to compete for it. Because like I said, we're just throwing tag teams together and hope like they stick. We're just throwing two random superstars together and be like,
all
right, this is
all and hoping it sticks.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's just like, I understand reuniting The Miz and R-Truth because they were once a tag team, the Awesome Truth.
Oh, that was fucking, I love that.
I mean, I understand doing that, but I don't understand like the tag teams that they just throw together, like AJ Styles with CM Punk or whatever like that, you know. I don't like that stuff. And it's just, I think with the tag team divisions, like I said, the way they are, it would make sense for them to reunite at some point in time, whether that be after WrestleMania or whether that be if the bloodline collapses, whatever it has been, I think that they will eventually reunite. I don't know how soon it will be, though.
You're not wrong.
So, yeah, as we said, this will actually be only the third time in WrestleMania history that two brothers who are not kayfabe brothers will face each other at the showcase of the Immortals. And it's crazy. All those matches took 15 years apart. It's so crazy.
It's kind of dope, though. It's every 5 years.
Yeah. Every 15 years. Yeah, but it's still crazy to think about that.
I was thinking every five.
It's all right.
15, and I'm like, so every five.
The five
years,
stuck. Yeah, the five stuck. So yeah, it's just gonna. Do you expect that this match will be any different than like how the previous matches were that were actually really good between the brothers, like the Owen Hart versus Bret Hart match, or the. Yeah.
Matt
Hardy's
Hardy
match.
Versus okay, you can't compare nothing to Matt Hardy versus. Jeff.
Oh no! You can't.
Because Jeff that. Hardy beat the living dog snot out of Matt.
Well, that was real life beef too. I mean, they actually
that was
had
like a
real
life thing, and
yeah.
He like just took it out on him. So that was one of my favorite matches of all time because he like lot he was getting ready to I think it was spear him if I'm. Not mistaking.
Yeah. Yep.
And he was like taped or handcuffed to the corner or something, and
yeah, it just got crazy.
Was like, dude, I'm done. I can't do it anymore.
Exactly. I think honestly, I mean, we've seen it before. I mean, especially not just them as single, like the Usos in their singles career, but we've seen it before a lot in their tag team careers, especially in Hell in a Cell, how sadistic that they can actually get. And I know this is not a Hell in a Cell match. I know this is probably not going to be a no DQ match, but I think that this is going to be some sadistic shit where it's going to see how far they can push each other and then push their limits. And I think one of them, if not both of them, will probably end up bloody by the time this match ends. But I don't think it will compare, like you said, anywhere near the match that Jeff and Matt had. I think it would probably be maybe a little bit better than the Owen Hart versus Bret Hart match, but I think that they would have to do a lot for it to overdo the Hardys.
Yeah, there's no match that's going to beat my Hardys. Sorry. You got to have like 10 out of 10 to beat the Hardys.
Ooh, dang. You're not even going
to Meltzer. That was a 10 match. A 10 match for me.
Dude, you're going Meltzer ratings, but you're doubling it. Meltzer only gives out 5 stars. You're giving like 10 stars.
You better get 10 out of 10 because I'm biased. I've met Jeff Hardy years and years ago. He's still one of my top favorite all time. I'm sorry. All time.
Hey, and you're wearing the same shade of green that he, usually wears too. So, I mean, with the sunglasses, I mean, come on. You're all hardied out.
Side note. You know Jeff Hardy's theme song?
Remember. Which one?
The one he made. Mm-hmm.
I can't think of the name of it.
Writing on the Walls.
Yeah. Yes, that's what it was. His TNA one, mostly.
No. It was WWE. This one was
WWE. It was WWE? Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, yeah. This one was. Yeah, never mind.
Right, I
was
thinking of a different one. I got to find it. And I'll play it real quick. I'll play like 10 seconds of it. If I can find it.
I mean, it's all right. I mean, we're going to get demonetized anyways.
No more words.
No. Oh, yes. That's what it was. No more words. Yes.
That's like my pump-up song when I have to get pumped up every time.
Exactly. And I mean, that's not a bad one.
Side note, I used that song for a project when we were in school. For, what was her name? What was the fucking English teacher's name?
What year are we talking? Senior year?
Fucking question.
Freshman year?
Senior year.
I had you in senior year in English, so, I mean, that was Mr. Runkle.
I think it might have been her.
Not yeah, I want to say it was Runkle.
I don't know. But I used it in... Yeah.
Yeah, that's who it was. Runkle was sophomore year. That's who it was.
Yeah. But I used that song, that exact song for something. And they were like, I've never heard this before, Mike. I know. It's one of my favorites.
I'm just sitting back there quietly just going...
Start jumping, doing it.
Jumping off the desk and stuff, doing a swanton. Nick goes to the principal's office. Oh, that was a mistake. Sorry. Since we are on the subject, though, of WrestleMania is only 10 That's days fine. Away at the time of recording.
WrestleMania is 10 days away.
Yeah, from time
of recording today. I just seen something like from the literally 30 seconds I woke up to getting up and whatever. They're starting to set it up right now.
Yes, they do set it up.
10 days to set that shit up? That's wild.
Yeah, because you got to get all the trucks in for all the ring stuff. You have to get all the promotional stuff, which is at least 2 trucks in its own. You got a shit ton of merchandise that you got to strip out. You got the ring setup and all that. It doesn't take too long. But it's more of like the stand setup, like how they're going to lay it out, like the venue itself. Right. Because once you get inside that stadium, like where is it at this year? It's at Philadelphia. It's in Philadelphia. So you're going to have to set up that football field just right.
My God. I seen something. The Miz said something about Jason Kelsey. I know this has nothing to do with it, but he said that he would train Jason Kelsey, the Philadelphia's now retired center.
Mm-hmm.
So if that happens, bro, bets are up.
Hey.
I'm watching everything.
Here's what's gonna happen. It's gonna be next WrestleMania. It's gonna be Gronk versus Kelsey.
Don't do that to me, because I will go to that Mania
with special guest referee George Kittle, who is a huge huge wrestling fan. So shout out to George. Shout out to Gronk. Shout out to
Pat,
the Kelsey brothers.
They'll make it Travis.
Oh, brother versus that we gotta wait 15 years for that one.
They're gonna be like 50 by the time that happens.
Hey, I don't make the rules. since it is 10 days away, it seems like we have most, if not all, of our Mania matches updated and out as so far as we know. These, of course, will take place over a span of 2 days. WrestleMania will have nights one and two. Night one will start that Saturday. Night two will be Sunday. But so far, it seems like we only have
your day.
Exactly. So far, we have only two confirmed, like I think two or three confirmed matches for Saturday and Sunday's card. And that the first match that's confirmed for night one will be Roman Reigns and The Rock versus Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins in the stipulation match, where if Cody and Rollins win, the bloodline can't be ringside in the match in between between Cody and Roman. But if Roman and The Rock should win, the match between Roman and Cody night two would be a bloodline rules match, which is pretty much be a no disqualification match.
I kind of think, I hate to say this, I like Seth fucking Rollins. He's going to turn on Cody. I'm sorry. I feel
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I'm telling
it.
You.
I feel
I mean, I called it like, what he was turned, the last episode or two episodes ago?
He turned on the Shield, and that was one of my all-time. That was a cool triple threat team. I loved it. But Seth Rollins is a dirty dog. He's going to turn.
I mean,
money doesn't matter. He's going to turn for some sort of reason.
I mean,
yes, I'm locking that in.
Yeah, especially with some of the other stuff that's been going down as of late with the WWE. Yeah, I see. Like I said, I seen him pretty much turning a few weeks ago when I was watching like his promos and stuff like that. Because if you notice, I can't remember which promo it was when he came out with Cody. He was dressed in all black. The previous promo he was out with Cody, he was dressed all flamboyant colors and stuff like that. So that switch in color right there may not seem a big difference, but the red, like the reds and the blacks are mostly what heels wear, if you've ever noticed that. The good guys wear like the blues, the lighter colors, things of that nature, but the heels wear the dark colors, you know? So right. I think that was probably a way of them for foreshadowing it. Who knows? Exactly. The other two matches confirmed for night two are Seth freaking Rollins versus Drew McIntyre for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship and Cody versus Roman for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. Our other matches that do not have days yet include Io Sky versus Bayley for the WWE Women's Championship, Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch for the WWE Women's World Championship, and Gunther versus Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Keeping hers, I'm sorry.
Gunther versus Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental Championship. LA Knight, yeah, versus AJ Styles in just a regular match. Then we got the brothers match of Jimmy versus Jey Uso and a triple threat match between Logan Paul, Kevin Owens, and Randy Orton for the United States Championship. And last but not least, the six-pack ladder match for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships, which will see the Judgment Day take on Team DIY, which is Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano, and the Awesome Truth, The Miz and R-Truth, The New Day, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, along with two teams to be announced. And
Hardys are coming back.
Hardys. I think it's going to be Hardys coming back. I think it's going to come down to the Hardys and the Awesome Truth. That's honestly who I think.
I love the Hardys, but if they come back, I kind of don't want to see them win right yet.
You don't want to see like WrestleMania where they came back and won it.
I want it to build up. I want there to be a build up with it.
A storyline, pretty much.
You
don't want them to come back and win you don't want them to win out of pity, pretty much, for coming back.
Let's win at Summer. Wait, when SummerSlam? That's at the end of
the
summer.
That's in August. So, yeah. Let
the storyline build up, and then let them win at SummerSlam.
I'm going to throw a monkey wrench in there for you. You know what's before SummerSlam?
Hell in a Cell?
Yes, sir.
Let them win at that. Well, at least one of them. I know. I figured that.
Because Hell in a Cell is in July. So, I mean, it would be nice to see them win there. But then again, SummerSlam is like the WrestleMania to end off the summer. So,
I think
that would make sense.
I think it would be SummerSlam. Let them go.
Because I think if you don't have Cody finish the story at Mania, and you have him go in.
Stop the story bullshit.
It's going to last. No, it will last until Hell in a Cell. That will be the Hell in a Cell main thing to get the storyline completely finished. And then I see at SummerSlam, that's when I see probably the Hardys winning. Because I don't see them having two major belts change hands at Hell in a Cell. I just want to see one. And that's if Cody loses to Roman at Mania and takes it to Hell in a Cell. Because they're probably going to finish. That's where storylines go to die. So, I mean, that might be the best option right there if Cody was to lose at Mania. So last week we talked about possibly waiting into the very last moments to announce that final team for the six-pack ladder match, or even the final two teams for that match. You pointed out something to me that Bubba Ray Dudley posted something on X that said 4/5/24, which is the Friday before WrestleMania. Could we possibly see D-Von and Bubba Ray be the second to the last team, or maybe even the last team announced for this six-pack ladder match? Uh-oh. We lost face, it looks like. We are trying to regain face real quick. We are running into some technical difficulties. All right, guys. Sorry about that, Jobber Nation. We ran into a little bit of technical difficulties. Cats my being cats, cat am I right? So I don't know how much of that you heard face of what I was jumping into, but you actually pointed this out to me a few days ago. Bubba Ray going to Twitter and posting a date of 4/5/24, which is the Friday night before WrestleMania. Could we possibly see D-Von and Bubba Ray show up at Mania and be maybe that second to last tag team to be announced before the Hardys maybe having that surprise entrant?
Okay. I need a pen and paper on this one. Fuck it. I can write
on this. He said, this is going to get real now because he's he's getting a pen and paper for this one.
I can't write on that one. Shit. No, but I can write on this.
I'm going to let him, Jabber Nation, I'm just going to let him cook. I don't know what he's cooking, but I'm just going to let him cook right now.
Give me this marker.
He's cooking something. He's cooking something.
What? So you got tag teams. Fucking none of my markers are working.
Oh, you want to know who the tag teams are in that match?
So who are the main three? I know it's R-Truth.
So we got the Awesome Truth with the Miz and R-Truth.
Okay.
We got the defending, well, the current champions, Judgment Day.
Okay.
Then we got the New Day.
Oh, yeah, the New Day. I forgot it. But, hey, is Big E ever going to come back?
That is questionable right now. There is no real timetable I've been hearing for his return to the ring.
Because I love Big E.
It all just depends. It just all depends on how severe the neck injury is. Exactly, yeah. And then you had Team DIY.
So that's four teams.
Mm-hmm. So you need two more.
Okay, so that's how the hell is that even gonna work?
It's pretty much a ladder match, you know. Whoever climbs the ladder captures it for both teams.
Huh.
So it's gonna be like a huge ass ladder match. Remember that? Well, remember that ladder match between the Usos and the New Day for I think it was for the championships back in WrestleMania 36, I think, the COVID one, where they're it was taped at the Performance Center.
Yeah.
But yeah, especially with us not really knowing the details of Matt and Jeff Hardy's AEW contracts too. You know, you could possibly have that return with the Hardys. It seems more likely than it would with Bubba and D-Von, because especially with D-Von's history of injuries and things of that, he is essentially retired now, but never say never, I guess.
I think he might come back for like an appearance or
at least a one-off, yeah. Maybe a one-off type match or something. Maybe a bump where it doesn't involve like his neck area or anything like that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So there's five different teams, six different teams right there.
Yeah, if you have those two locked, yeah, that would complete the six-pack challenge.
That's wild. I feel like there's too much chaos in one little ring.
See, that's why I thought it would be on like the like one of the kickoff shows, you know, because that's gonna take a lot of time right there. That's gonna be one of the like longest matches because you don't want to rush that match either, because it's for a championship. You know, you don't want to really have that rushed, but I feel like if it's gonna be on the main card, I feel like it's not gonna have enough time to get all the other matches to be done at a decent time by like right. 11 o'clock. So who knows? Who knows with that one?
That's six different teams. I mean, I'm gonna be honest. There's two out of them six teams that I would love to see win. If the Hardys were to come back, like I said, truthfully, let them lose. Let them taste let them taste the loss for a minute and earn their way back. And at the end, and give them let them earn it. And then at SummerSlam, let them win.
Yeah, I could see that happening. Definitely. I mean, especially since, you know, they haven't been wrestling that much on AEW as it is. So they're more likely to be a little ring rust coming out of it, you know? So,
what did WWE have to offer Jeff Hardy for all that bullshit they threw at him a couple years back?
Yeah, that's true.
That's curious. I'm curious on to know what they offer.
And especially if Jeff, as it is, has only been out of, I think, WWE for like, what, 2 years now?
Two or three years.
So it's like he hasn't been that removed from his WWE days. Like, how much has changed and how much are they willing to work with him now? They going to give him like a strike system now if he screws up, you know, two times he's out or what, you know?
No more drinking, because obviously everyone, like all the rock stars and all the partiers are slowly stopping drinking, mm-hmm. which that's cool. I don't even drink hardly anymore.
Yeah, same here. Definitely.
I mean, weed's basically legal in almost all of the states, so who cares if you do that?
Except for the Texas of the North. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you, Indiana. The Texas of the North.
Yeah, unfortunately.
He said, yeah, I can't deny it.
But get a fucking doctor's, get a med card and say this is for whatever the fuck. Who cares?
Medical purposes. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, I think,
work, say, there's only a certain amount you're allowed to have this day after. I don't care what you do. But on that day, you're only allowed this little bit. Who cares?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, as long as you're safe to work with and things like that. I mean, I don't see an issue with
it. I don't see an issue with that at all.
But I think in his contract, if they do end up signing, both of them do end up signing with WWE, I do believe that Jeff will have a lot of stipulations involved in his contract, in which if he breaks any of them, he's instantly gone.
Yeah.
Because I think this is his very last chance with WWE. Because
Vince kind of Vince shit on him hard, and I'm just like, bro, that left a bad taste in my mouth. I'm like, damn.
Oh, man. Yeah. Especially him having, what was it, the
he was clean and sober. Brawl? He was clean and sober, and they tried to accuse him of being all drugged up and this and that. But he had saying, dude, I've been clean for this long, and you guys are still shitting on me? Like,
He had that feud with Sheamus, and they had that barroom brawl or whatever it was. And it's shitty because they've had a history of doing shit like this with superstars that have been on the road to recovery. If you look at it, they had a match with who was it? Scott Hall, when he was just starting to recover. Him and Stone Cold main evented, I think, one of the WrestleManias, I do believe. And at the end, Stone Cold gave him a beer and pretty much told him to drink it. And he was a recovering alcoholic, and he ended up drinking it. And then, what was it? What's his name? Jake the Snake.
Yeah.
He was a recovering drug addict and alcoholic. And he tried sobering up, and he had this real religious type sober persona that he was playing in the WWE as well, since he was on that path to get clean. And they ended up pouring straight whiskey on him. It's like they have done this before and it's been shitty, but it's like
stupid. If a person is taking a stance on something, don't shit on it.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, that's so
super, really disrespectful.
So I think we both can agree that coming to this WrestleMania, that if there is any surprises, it's going to be probably the Hardy Boys in that six-pack tournament. I mean, that six-pack ladder match, I mean.
That'd be pretty. That'd be sick.
Yeah. But another surprise return we could be seeing at Mania could happen night two in the Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns championship match. We know that The Rock has been ripping Cody Rhodes' family name apart and bashing the late, great Dusty Rhodes. Along with Cody's mom.
Dusty Rhodes was fucking dope.
He even went as far as to belittle Cody's dog, Pharaoh. And even his brother, the bizarre one, the natural, Dustin Rhodes. Well, Dustin took to social media and didn't have anything nice to say to The Rock. He had two championship belts and he told the cameraman to zoom in on him. And he said, fuck The Rock. Could we see Dustin possibly return to the WWE and help save Cody in that match to even out the numbers before Rollins finally turns?
No.
Oh, so shit. Oh.
It just kind of clicked in my head. So Cody Rhodes loses the first night. Cool, whatever. Now the story or the Bloodline has their team the next day, right?
Yeah, well, it's bloodline rules, which means pretty much no DQ, which would mean that the bloodline's there. Yeah.
So guess what? Where does Dusty come in at?
He comes in to give Roman Reigns a shattered dreams.
He comes in and beats the shit out of him and Cody and whoever the fuck else, but whatever. They take over. Somebody takes out Roman Reigns, throws him in the ring, and covers him. Boom.
There you go.
Lock in place.
That would be something. That would be different. That would be definitely different. Okay. Okay. The last time we seen Dustin on AEW television was on January 17th episode of AEW Dynamite. In a match which he lost to the Patriarch, Christian Cage. Just 10 days later, Cody would go on to win the 2024 Royal Rumble. So with him being on the shelf for a little over 2 months, and as old as he's getting, could you see this possibly being Dustin's final hurrah, him saving Cody in this match, and then maybe finally retiring after that?
I could see that.
Let Dustin go on top. That way Cody, if he does win, not only preserves the Rhodes family name, but then Dustin can feel like he can finally retire knowing that it is preserved, I guess you could say.
Yes.
I mean, that would probably be like the better bet, in my opinion, if you want to bring Dustin back for that. Oh, man.
That would be...
Oh, go ahead, man.
I think that's what they're going to do. I kind of thinking about it now.
Do you think that he's going to say screw it and go with his real name like he did in AEW, Dustin Rhodes, or do you think he's going to go with the Gold Dust persona again?
Nah, I think he dropped that a while back, and that was...
Well, he had to because of WWE owned the likeliness and owned all of it, so he couldn't go by Gold Dust in any other promotion unless he was the one that actually bought the rights to it.
I think he's done with that. Truthfully, I think it'd be cool to see him be done with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then come out as Dustin Rhodes.
Because his persona that he used in AEW was the natural Dustin Rhodes. And he still had kind of like the same outfits as Gold Dust, but it being red and black. And he only had half of his face painted. So, I mean, that would be still pretty cool to see him return like that. So who knows? I mean, it's still all stipulation right now, but it would be nice to see him make a return and just be like his final hurrah, you know? Over the last week, we have also had a good look at what the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2024 will have in it. Those inductees are the following. Paul Heyman, Bull Nanko, Thunderbolt Patterson, the U.S. Express, along with the best special guest referee who ever reffed in a main event at WrestleMania, which was WrestleMania 1. He floated like a butterfly and stung like a bee, and I met him at a Pizza Hut in Niles, Michigan back in the day. We're talking about the greatest of all time, Muhammad Ali.
Fun fact, my uncle, years and years ago, my cousin's dad got mm-hmm. to meet Muhammad Ali in his house.
In Berrien Springs, Michigan?
No.
I was about to say, because he had a place in
Michigan.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I don't know how it got all lined up, but it was pretty cool. And I heard the story about him.
He didn't have a place too far from us. I mean, he was living in Berrien Springs, Michigan, which is closest to the border of Indiana and Michigan. So he wasn't that far away. But it's definitely a decent class for the WWE class of 2024. I mean, the only thing that I still, think is holding it up is probably Muhammad Ali being inducted. We still don't know who the recipient of this year's Warrior Award will be. And we don't know if any more names will be added. Usually they don't announce too many more names. Usually maybe one more name plus the Warrior Award inductee. But it's kind of crazy to think about. I know we talked about it off camera that Bray Wyatt, didn't get inducted into this class.
He should have been in there.
Well, because of how much he's done for the company, not just overall, but how much of a genius he was, not only in storytelling, but how to get people to like actually follow him and like believe that he could be this great wrestler. And to have him not inducted, especially a year after his passing, is kind of shocking to me, because I thought for sure that they would actually do something like that for him. But it's kind of crazy because we see his uncle and his dad get inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame this year as the U.S. Express. His uncle being Barry Windham and his dad being Mike Rotunda, who was formerly known as IRS in the WWE. They're being inducted. Huh? Exactly, So I wonder if he will be maybe a special inductee. I mean, I know his dad and his uncle are in this year's, maybe next year. But it will be nice to see him once he does finally get inducted, especially with his documentary coming out, like we talked about, in a couple of days. So I think it could possibly happen. Maybe he will be that final inductee. Who knows?
I think it will be, but WWE, it's never telling. It's never knowing.
Well, we all also thought, too, that this latest edition of 2K24 was going to have, like, the Bray Wyatt moment, like, game mode that Rey Mysterio had and, like, John Cena had. Mm-hmm. We thought we were going to get the Bray Wyatt edition this year.
Wait, have you played that?
What, 2K24 yet?
Yeah.
No, I have not, but I've been hearing decent reviews about it. They have been adding a lot more different style matches to it, too, like an ambulance match, things like that. So it's going to be pretty fun to see. I mean, I haven't personally seen much footage of it yet myself. Haven't really just been hearing some decent reviews on it. I've heard it's probably one of the better 2K games that WWE has produced yet.
I'm going to send you something I just found. I would like to see this feud. I would really like to see this one.
I'd form probably a better opinion on it, not only if when I play it, but B, probably when the patch updates and everything get really updated really well. I think that's when I'll see more of the really good reviews on it.
Right. I possibly might pick it up, but I don't know. It's hard for me to pick up wrestling games anymore.
Well, not just that, but you also have, if you want, all these different superstars, you have to get, the DLC and shit like that, yeah. Oh, let's see. Punk warning The Rock. Ooh. But that's too late for a WrestleMania hype thing for them, dude. That'd be too late. All the match cards are pretty much determined right now, and The Rock would not have possibly three things going on at WrestleMania weekend like that. Maybe for WrestleMania 41, who knows? But yeah, that would be definitely a dream match.
I would like to see that. Punk and him.
Yeah, I would like to see that too. Oh, it looks like things are finally starting to change under the control of Triple H and Nick Khan. It was announced late last week that WWE Women's Superstar Shayna Baszler will be taking part in a GCW show Thursday night before WrestleMania. She is still under WWE contract, was given permission to work the event. Do you think, or do you see rather, more of this happening with the WWE as times are changing in the industry? And it's not only getting the WWE more exposure by having her wrestle for GCW, but it's also getting GCW as a smaller promotion more eyes on it too, having a current WWE superstar wrestle in a match for him.
I think that'd be the smart move to do.
But go ahead, man.
Huh. No, go ahead. I don't know.
But I mean, because if you look at it before, they've had partnerships with other companies before. I mean, they kind of have an active one right now, if you would, with TNA somewhat. Because if you look at it, they did have Mickie James come back for the Royal Rumble last year. And then this year, I can't remember who you had this year, but it was the women's champ. The Knockouts champ coming for the Rumble this year. So that
what about
so they
this
did
is have, WrestleMania.
So they have had it, you know, where the Forbidden Door quote unquote has been broken by the WWE. They have partnered up. But I have something that might blow your mind. And I don't know. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
What about AJ Lee coming back and beating Rhea Ripley? This is just a dream match. I thought it would be pretty cool to see.
I would like to see her come back. But I think the reason why she got out of it to begin with was her mental health. But if her mental health is good to go and she's good to go, I'd like to see her come back. And B... I don't know if it'll be believable. Let's just put it that way. I don't know if it would be believable.
You had the Great Khali versus fucking Rey Mysterio.
I know, but this is a different era too, in which they're not having that as often too. If you look at it, they're always having a smaller wrestler somewhat lose nowadays, you know. So I mean, it could happen. It could happen. I mean, I wouldn't count it out. I'd definitely see her back, but I would see her taking on Bayley or Io Sky. Have that matchup, you know.
You know what? Okay.
Because if you want Rhea to lose, I would have her either lose against someone that's equally as big as she is, like a Raquel Rodriguez, or even, hate to say it, Nia Jax or Charlotte Flair.
I'd rather see Charlotte Flair over Nia Jax, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I do got to give her credit, though. She is starting to become a little bit better now. I mean, I have watched a little bit more of her highlights in her matches.
She put a dirty taste in my mouth.
I know, exactly. But, you know, I'm in the same boat as you. She has still a lot to do to win me over, but, you know, at least it's getting better. Let's put it that way. But, yeah, here's my mind-blowing thing that I want to talk to you about. Because we are on the subject of this quote-unquote forbidden door, as it's always been known as. But can you imagine if, and this is a huge ass if, this is like as big as the Empire State Building and every other tallest building in the world, if Triple H 1 year breaks down even more of their forbidden door and invites the likes of AEW with Ring of Honor and TNA to face off against the WWE at Survivor Series. And not have it.
Easy, killer. I only got one.
But I'm saying this. We don't have it in the recent War Games style. We have it back to brand versus brand, but it'll be AEW with Ring of Honor going up against WWE, going up against TNA. Could you see that possibly happening? I'm not saying like anytime like this year, but you know, in the near future, especially with other with wrestlers in WWE getting the chance to work at other promotions now.
Man.
Or do like a one-off, you know? It would be something to see. That'd be like the greatest wrestling show of all time, but I don't think we'll ever see it. Because could you imagine having Samoa Joe versus whoever the TNA world champion would be versus Roman Reigns or Cody Rhodes, you know, champion versus champion. That'd be a hell of a match, you know? People would watch that.
You're doing too much, man. You're doing too much.
I know. It's just something I'm thinking about. I mean,
my brain doesn't work that quick. You should know that. I went to Central.
I know, but hey, so did I. No, but it's like we always throw shit at the wall, and sometimes it sticks, you know. And hopefully, this will be the time that it sticks, since we've had it stick 9 times out of 10 lately.
Yeah, ain't that the fucking truth?
And it's kind of crazy because I feel like The Simpsons when I do that shit.
Dude, it's been fucking wild lately.
I know, right? but the only stipulation that I would have for this event, this Survivor Series, would it have to be in one of the all-time historic wrestling venues of all time. I'm talking about the Hammerstein Ballroom. The old ECW Ballroom that they used to have in New York.
Oh. Before.
Yes, the one where it said, if Cena wins, we riot.
That's an old, like the old school one. Holy
the original shit. Monday Night Raw. The original Monday Night Raws used to be taped there. Oh, face. Before we move on to AEW, we do have some bills to pay, like always. We want you to let you guys know that this episode, once again, is sponsored by Dubby. Dubby is the zero crash, zero artificial, make-at-home energy drink. They got lots of great flavors to try, such as Dub Sludge, Galaxy Grenade, and their limited release flavor of Palm Blum. If you're not sure what flavor to order, don't worry. Dubby's got you covered with their sampler pack. What's their sampler pack? Well, their sampler pack gives you 5 single servings. Those packs are 3 of the Dubby Energy packs and 2 of Dubby's hydration packs, which include no caffeine. And you also get a shaker cup to help you blend your drink. Still not sold? Well, as a special thanks for our listeners for trying their product, they are giving you guys a 10% discount at checkout. Just use code NATION2023 at checkout. That's NATION, all capital letters, followed by the 2023. Because at Dubby and Jobber Nation, we strive to be better. Also, Dubby is running a special. That's right. If you've tried Dubby in the past and loved it, this deal is for you. For a limited time, Dubby is doing a buy one tub, get one of their tubs of Hydro Mix for free. Their Hydro Mix is it's caffeine-free and helps replenish electrolytes and comes in amazing flavors, such as watermelon lemonade, pineapples, and pineapple strawberry. To cash in on this deal, add a tub of regular Dubby Energy Mix along with a tub of Hydro Mix to your cart and use code B-O-G-O-H at checkout, and you'll receive the Hydro Mix for free. Who doesn't like free? Head over to Dubby.gg today to cash in on those offers.
Bada bing, bada boom. Well, I'm trying to get a couple more sponsors, but it's just taking me a minute. So,
hey, it's all right. We are moving now away from the WWE and headed over to AEW, where on Dynamite, we saw some things go down. We've seen some new champions.
Let's just say that match was wild. I watched it at work on my lunch break, and...
But the first match that we seen title change hands, though, that night was Okada finally getting AEW gold after being there for a long 3 weeks. Okada has beaten Eddie Kingston for the AEW Continental Breakfast Championship, bringing gold to the Elite once more. And in this week's, and we also saw, like you were talking about, Adam Copeland, with the help of Daddy Magic and Daniel Garcia, made Christian Cage say, "I quit."
Dust I Downing. Loved that match. You were telling me to take a look at it, so I watched it again.
It was not, you know, it did not, you know, disappoint. I think, like I said, the only thing I was disappointed in was the endings because it felt a little rushed. But other than that, it was really good, in my opinion. But yeah, it's definitely one of the better matches that I've seen for an I Quit match in a very long time. It had everything. It had out going to the outside. It was
pretty goddamn close to the Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy I Quit match.
Oh, your 10-star match?
That's always going to be a 10-star for me because that was my favorite. The Swanton Bomb off the fucking high ceilings.
This is a 9 3/4 match from you.
I'm going to give that maybe like an 8, a 7.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to, yeah, I'd say about 7.5, 8. You know, it was good. But I don't, you know, I kind of like the help that Adam Copeland had, like I said, with Daddy Magic and Daniel Garcia. Both handcuffing, you know, the other opponents to the ring. I thought that was pretty good. And because here was my thoughts, honestly, when I was watching that match. I was watching, I said, I seen Edge beating the crap out of Christian for, not Edge, but sorry, Adam Copeland.
His name's Edge.
I know. Beating the shit out of Christian for a good, you know, 10 minutes, it seemed like, straight. And then I was like, yeah, Edge is not going to win this because they're going to give Christian Cage a momentum shift and he's going to cash in on that momentum shift and he's going to end up winning and retaining. I had this, I was going through all the possible stages. I was going through all the possible stages of grief. Like I was in like denial, acceptance that he was going to lose, denial that he was going to lose. And then when I seen him get help again, I was like, dude, there's no way that they're going to have him lose when they have, you know, two people coming out to help him in this fight. You know, I was like, yeah, there's no way. And then I was like, yep, he finally ended up winning. I was like, thank God he actually ended up pulling
off. I said, I watched it on my phone, but I think I'm going to start watching AEW on the regular now. I normally watch it on my phone. So,
like I said, they've been having a lot more better matches. And their product just seems to be getting a little bit better. I mean, it's not drastically changing overnight. It's kind of like what WWE is now with Triple H. It's slowly getting better.
Yeah, it's slowly getting better.
But it's getting better at least. And at least with you too, you also have like I think don't you have YouTube TV?
I do not know.
Oh, I thought you had YouTube TV.
I use that at my brother's account.
Oh, okay. I was saying because you could easily record that stuff and just watch it at a later time. But yeah.
You're not even you can record it.
Yeah, so you have like unlimited recording.
He's got unlimited shit. All right.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I have to apologize to Jobber Nation though. Last episode, I did say that Adam Copeland's closest thing to an I Quit match that he's had in recent years was at WrestleMania 36 against Randy Orton in the Last Man Standing. I really, honestly forgot that he had a last man, he had a I Quit match against Finn Balor and the Judgment Day at Extreme Rules 2022. That's when they brought Beth in and gave her a concerto to the head.
You're right. I forgot about that. That was one of my favorites too.
Because they held the mic up to his face and they said, "Say I quit or else Beth gets it." And he said, okay, I quit, and they end up giving it a concerto anyways.
Yeah, I remember that.
But going back to this match between Copeland and Cage, do you think that this will end that rivalry for that TNT championship? Or do you think that this will set up something in which he'll still be considered the patriarch, Christian Cage will, and it'll set up a thing where Nick Wayne and maybe Killswitch and Nick Wayne end up winning the tag team championships and be like, hey, we got gold. We pulled our weight. Where's your gold? And they end up kicking him to the side, maybe. Reuniting Edge and Christian for tag team. And maybe have it be like the Hardys and maybe not go have them win the tag team championships right away. Maybe, you know, let it ride and maybe at, let's say, All In, they end up winning the tag team championships again from Nick Wayne and Killswitch. I mean, it'll be a great storyline going forward, but that's if you wanna, you know, go that route. I don't know where they're gonna be going, especially with everything that's with Christian and Adam Copeland had going into this match. I don't know if this necessarily ends that rivalry for that, like I said, but it'll be interesting to see where Nick Khan and the creative team do go from here. And I think my biggest concern would be probably the biggest concern of a lot of other people. Because if you do go ahead and, you know, do decide to make them as a tag team, I don't want AEW to book them like they booked the Hardys for a tag team. I want them to actually succeed and actually compete for a tag team championship instead of just being an afterthought and only brought in when you need a big pop and when you need ratings. Speaking of AEW, some of their programming might be taking a little bit of a ratings hit due to March Madness being on TNT and TBS for the first two rounds. They had to reschedule some of their tapings.
It's completely fucked.
Oh, I don't even do one anymore. I don't even do one. I used to do one. But yeah, do you see giving, you know, the momentum, if you would, since AEW Revolution? Do you think that this hinders their momentum a little bit to put on a good product? I mean, it didn't necessarily.
Not really.
I mean, it could be bad in a way because that does give WWE a little bit more exposure for their ratings, and that might make them hooked a little bit. But I don't think the way that their creative staff is at the moment for AEW, I don't think it really would hinder them any bit. I think honestly it would help them a little bit because it would give them a little bit of a break, not too much of a break for an episode or whatever, but at least you got an episode break that you could, you know, maybe progress storylines or maybe think of some new storylines going forward. I think it's more or less considered almost like a bye week like you would have in football. You know, it'd be like that reset, hit that reset button, get everybody fresh, make sure your wrestlers are healthy, all that stuff. But like I said, it's not for a long period of time. It was only for like, I think they only missed like one episode or two episodes maybe of their programming on the Turner Broadcasting. But I don't think it's going to hinder them that much. But with that said, I think, like I said, it shouldn't hurt them too bad. AEW's Swerve Strickland announces that he will be taking on Takeshita on Dynamite coming up this week. This comes after his match against the Butcher, in which Don Callis called Swerve out, thus setting up a match for Swerve Strickland and Takeshita. Swerve also vowed that after he's done beating Takeshita, he's coming after Samoa Joe's AEW championship. Now,
Joe, this he needs to take his shit away. Take his shit away. I'm over his shit.
Well, the next AEW pay-per-view is about a month away. It is AEW Dynasty. So if we are to see Swerve versus Joe, it will probably be most likely at that pay-per-view event, which makes me question, do you see Swerve beating Samoa Joe for this championship?
Samoa Joe needs to get the fuck out.
I've
never really been a fan of his. I'm sorry, I'm biased. I don't really care for him. I don't know why either. I don't know.
And here's what I'm thinking too. I mean, yeah, you have the likes of Adam Cole still out with injury. You got, you know, AEW, you know, for all the types of matches that they do put on, they are not that safe of a company to work with. If they were a wrestler, they would be Nia Jax. Let's just put it that way. That's how many injuries they have. But they've been pushing Swerve Strickland like crazy lately. I mean, not saying that it's not well deserved, because he earned my respect after he beat Hangman Adam Page, I think, three matches in a row when they faced off. So he's like 3-0 against them. But I do not want to see it happening like they did with LA Knight and WWE. Once people start getting healthy and start coming back, they pushed him back down the mid card.
I know. They slowly
but surely, slowly but surely, after his match against Roman, slowly but surely, they pushed him down, and then they brought Kevin Owens back up, and they brought Sami Zayn back up.
I got tired of that storyline. That shit was getting annoying after whatever,
So it's like, I don't want to see them to feed the machine, if you would, you know, to keep Samoa Joe on top and then slowly push him back down when the likes of Adam Cole returns and anybody else who's injured that's on the main event status returns. Especially, you know, and this shows you how bad that I, you know, don't want that to happen. All of Jobber Nation knows I wasn't a big fan of Swerve Strickland even when he was in WWE. But now that he's gained my respect, I think that, you know, him being this gimmick that he has kind of now going on where he really isn't a face, but he isn't a heel. He's kind of like that in-between guy. I think that it could possibly make for a face change, you know, especially if he does win it, I think he'll become face, and that'd be pretty cool to see because I don't think we've really seen a face Swerve Strickland before. And I think that honestly, with Okada winning the Continental Championship, I think it will probably set up not only will Samoa Joe probably get his rematch, but I think it'll set up Strickland versus Ospreay come All in London. So, I mean, I know a lot of people are thinking that Ospreay is going to win the AEW championship at All in London because he is British, first of all, and they have a tendency to do that type of stuff, give you a championship if you're from there, you know? So I think if they do have the belt change hands, I think it's going to be Strickland's going to have it, and he's going to hold it until All in August, and I think he'll lose it there. Speaking of Will Ospreay, we get to see a dream match between two extremely good wrestlers representing somewhat different eras, as we will have Bryan Danielson versus Will Ospreay at AEW Dynasty, which is that pay-per-view event that we just mentioned just a little earlier. And it has been made official, so that is one match that we so far know for AEW Dynasty, besides the tag team tournament championship, which will crown new AEW tag team champions. So yeah, we have a lot to look forward to that now. A lot to look forward for that pay-per-view event. But once we get more matches, once more matches are announced, we will definitely let Jobber Nation know the updated match card. Darby Allin will be out of action for a while, not because he's climbing Mount Everest, but quite the opposite. Last Wednesday, Darby had a match against Switchblade Jay White, in which he was jumped after the match and took a steel chair shot to his ankle and foot. This caused actual damage, as he later went to social media and said that Everest will have to wait until next year because his foot is actually broken. And people say wrestling's fake.
Hey, wrestling's fake.
It's predetermined. Given how extreme Darby is, I don't necessarily believe that chair shot is what 100% broke his foot. I believe that
there was something already fucking around in his ankle, and it just kind
of it off. I think it probably was that spot that he did with the sting match. Yeah. I think he hurt his leg or his ankle just right to give it like a hairline crack just right, and then when that chair shot came down and hit him repetitively on it, I think that's what then ended up causing it. But I think it was pre-existing, you know, because I just don't see it happening, especially with the types of chairs that they use. They're meant to be giving somewhat, but still look painful and still are somewhat painful, but they're not like the steel chairs that you set up for like a barbecue and shit like that. They're, you know, a little bit on a cheaper side, so they have a little bit of give to it. So I don't think it was like 100%, you know, broken when that happened, but I think it was, like I said, like we both agreed on, it was probably a injury from a spot that he had maybe at Revolution. So as we know, Darby has experienced far worse injuries, but do you think that this broken foot maybe would be a wake-up call for him that maybe he needs to slow things down a little bit?
Fuck no, he's a Jeff Hardy. He's not going to slow down. He's not going to slow down.
I mean, given him, and not only him, but Sammy Guevara also, you know, all doing risky moves, you know, it could be possible that they won't have that long a career and be out of the industry by the time they're 35. I mean,
but maybe that's what they want. They're making max money, right?
But that money's going last you for so long, you know.
If you invest your money the right way, you're living off that money for a hot while.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at Mick Foley, who's also been very vocal about the style of Darby Allin, Mick Foley retired in 2000 at the age of 34.
Well, yeah,
as a full-time wrestler. He only worked part-time dates and only did special appearances for his Legends contract. But other than that, he was fully retired at the age of 34 because of so many injuries and so much shit that he went through in that time span as a wrestler. I mean,
he put his body on the line. That was kind of his choice, though.
Oh, yeah. And I know I always reference, whenever I talk about Mick Foley, I always reference his biography that he has, Have a Nice Day. And in that biography, he, in detail, lists some of like the most gruesome bumps that he's ever taken, you know, and some of the most extreme injuries that he's ever had, from landing on pure concrete on his back and everything like that. No wonder why he retired at such a young age in wrestling, because nowadays you're seeing wrestlers going until they're about 50 years old, unless you're Ric Flair and still wanting to wrestle at the age of 75.
That's wild. 75.
But I can only imagine, you know, the pain that Darby puts himself through, just by reading, you know, the stuff that Mick Foley put himself through. And it just makes me wonder if, you know, he's the type of person that, you know, pain doesn't bother him that much, where he can work through it, or if he really is that crazy.
Right.
Because either way, you know, something's different. He's a different breed, let's just put it that way. Because he does the most everything. It's crazy. Like you said, he's pretty much like Jeff Hardy, but younger.
Yes, I don't know, man. I don't know. He's going to probably push it a little more and then.
Or do you see him almost being like Nick Gage for GCW is? He always said that, you know, people said that he's going to die in the ring. And he said, well, if I die in the ring, I die in the ring. At least I died while I loving.
Yeah.
Loving what I did, you know. But yeah, we're going to go in a little bit of other news around the industry. Most people in the internet wrestling community have been very vocal about the spendings that AEW has been doing.
They're dropping so many people.
With signing of Ospreay, Okada, and Monet. Some are saying that this is how WCW started on the decline, was signing all these wrestlers and not being able to pay.
Yep.
After, you know, they would have these huge, huge, huge contracts. Well, worry no more, because it has been announced that the new net worth of AEW co-owner Shad Khan has went up to $12.1 billion. In my opinion, where WCW actually failed was, not only did they sign huge contracts, like long-term, year deals worth millions upon millions to wrestlers who were pretty much at the tail end of their careers, but Ted Turner was the owner of Turner Broadcasting, which included TNT, TBS, and CNN, along with the Atlanta Hawks and the Atlanta Braves, which in the mid-1990s took up majority of his financing, because the Braves won a few World Series championships in the 90s. So, you know, he had to pay his players to stay, you know, if he still wanted that success, along with paying the salaries of broadcasters on CNN and all that. He didn't have much more money left by the time it came to the wrestling industry. As we know, Shad, like we said, Shad is worth $12.1 billion. AEW in general is estimated at $2 billion in worth. And WWE is estimated at $9.859 billion, which means that Shad Khan is worth more than AEW and WWE combined. So, do you think that spending at AEW will stop anytime soon, knowing that
they pretty much have an unlimited money source to get these wrestlers. Because if you look at it, I mean, WWE is owned by TKO, which is, you know, a corporation in its own.
Yeah.
They have contracts that they got to pay out not only to WWE, but to UFC. That means that there's a little bit of a budget right there. They can't spend as much.
Right.
Whereas AEW has someone that owns multiple sports teams that has enough money to pay the contracts for not only a football team, but a soccer team, and the contracts of wrestlers. So I think you could see probably more roster moves by the end of 2024 that could possibly revamp AEW a little bit more. But as it is, too, they already have a lot of talent as is. So why not use some of that money and invest into a brand split like what we were talking about last episode?
I mean,
it only makes sense.
AEW, I don't know, man. I was reading into it a little bit the other day, like you were saying. I let you go on your spiel a little bit about how they're buying all these big contract people but not being able to pay. So they're slowly cutting people out. And I'm just like, instead of buying these high-class fucking people, say I'll give you half of what you fucking, like, give them a decent contract, not too bad, but hey,
don't extend them for like a shit ton of years.
Yeah, extend them for a year or two, possibly three, and that's about. And then go year to year, like keep them on your roster, but go year to year. Always have them in some sort of whatever fucking match, like a little match every couple weeks. That way, they're still
let them know that they're relevant. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah,
feel burnt out. They don't. They're still in the company, but you got them on speed now. Hey, I need you to come, whatever, and that give them a little bonus or whatever for doing that. But don't fucking, here's $5 billion. Go fuck it up. You know
exactly. Yeah. Yep. It's like I like I said. I think that's also where WCW failed. Is pretty much Ted Turner giving these guys essentially a blank check, you know, and letting them write how much that they want in the check, because they were signing guys like Bret Hart at the tail end of his career. They're signing the likes of, you know, Ric Flair. They're signing Hulk Hogan, all people that were way past their prime, to these max contracts that were extended.
What was the Legends matches? Let them do that. Give them a little piece.
Yeah, give them a Legends contract where they only work a handful of dates a year, like, which would be like a anniversary show, maybe a WrestleMania, or maybe like a big-time pay-per-view event. That's all their contract.
Once or twice a year, a couple times
a year. Yeah, exactly.
Like that.
Yeah, like Goldberg has. I think Goldberg has one where he has only like a few matches from now until like 2027 or some shit like that. You know, he only signed like for 5 matches or something.
Do something like that, because that'd be smarter.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You can maneuver the money around even a little
bit. Or I don't know if you've seen the meme that's been going around the internet where it had Bianca Belair backstage doing a talk. I can't remember who she was talking to. I think she was talking to Bailey or something, and it showed her bicep, like how big it was. And then right next to it was Adam Cole and how skinny he is and like how unmuscular he is. Do you think that it would be in AEW's best interest to try to set up something like the WWE Performance Center, where they have a place to work out, have a place to train, get them all in one little area, instead of having them just say screw it and find a gym wherever they please, you know, actually have some type of structure like WWE has?
Where's AEW based out of? Where's Tony Khan?
Tony Khan and
Jaguars.
Yeah, he's Jacksonville. Yeah, he's Jacksonville, Florida.
Why not get a fucking building there? Make that home for AEW.
Exactly, like WWE does with the NXT. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Some bullshit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they do that?
Yeah.
You got your home base. That's where your check is coming from. That's where
you're reinvesting into the future of the company too, by not only having that, but you can also develop more independent people that you could possibly want to sign later too.
Yes, absolutely.
It only makes sense instead of signing these multi-million dollar 10-year contracts to whoever, you know. Alrighty, Jabber Nation, we are moving on to our final segment of the week, and that is the Jabber Nation Jabber of the Week. My pick for this Jabber Nation Jabber of the Week goes to none other than Y2J himself, Chris Jericho. I'm picking this as my Jabber of the Week because, like Face did last episode, it's for completely different reasons. Like we said, it doesn't have to mean, you know, someone who's terrible. It could be just someone who put someone over. And that's what Jericho did this past week when he put over a much younger Hook in AEW Dynamite by having him win in a one-on-one match. Even after the match, you know.
You might have to send me this match because I
yes, it was
catch it.
It was pretty good. I mean, it was a decent match. I mean, I thought it was going to end a lot sooner than what it did. But with that match, I mean, you've really seen Hook be somewhat tested for the first time too in his AEW career. That resulted in a win, and I think that it really played out well for both of them. I think that it gave exposure to Hook that showed him that, hey, he can face off guys that have been in the main event. And I think that it also passed the torch, really, because afterwards Jericho actually said that Hook will be a future world champion. And I somewhat agree with him because that match actually proved a lot to me. Hook is one of the more greener wrestlers in WWE. He is the son of Taz. So, I mean, he does have that genetic build to him. But I think that going forward, I think that they need to start reevaluating how they book Hook. And I think that with them having booked him already against Samoa Joe for the AEW Championship, I think that they probably need to run that back and do it a little later on, maybe with Swerve Strickland. I don't know. But whoever the AEW World Champ is definitely needs to have a match with Hook, I think, because he's only going to get better from here on out. And I think that if they book him correctly, I think he could probably be one of the next youngest superstars in AEW and probably be on the same likes of MJF. And I mean, this is also not the first time.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not a big MJF fan. I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, there's some things about wrestlers that I don't know. I can't tell you what it is. If I don't like it, I don't like it.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot with a lot of the wrestlers, how I feel too. It's like either I like them or I don't. And sometimes they'll grow on me every now and then. But it takes a lot. It takes a lot. And I'm not for sure, you know. How, you know, yeah, it definitely, you know, like I said, even with Strickland, you know, it took him those three matches to change my mind, but those were some of the three best matches I think I've seen him in.
If you don't know, you do know.
But yeah, this isn't the first time that Jericho's actually been like this in AEW, putting over a much younger talent.
Believe he still wrestles. Holy shit.
I know. He gave Action Andretti his first AEW win on his AEW debut. And that was his biggest win of his career.
I think maybe next year we need to go to the Rock and Roller.
The cruise?
The cruise?
Part six or whatever it is.
I don't care what it is. I think that'd be super cool. Because then can have little clips and videos, and we can go up there and talk to Jericho and talk to all the guys. I'll pay VIP for that shit.
I'm like, I'm with him. I don't have the credentials. I'm with
him. Hey, he's with me.
Yeah, he's with. Yeah, yeah, he's with me.
He's with me.
But yeah,
that's something we should look into. I mean,
exactly. I know they sell out pretty fast. August. They sell out pretty fast when they get announced. I can't remember when he does announce them, but I think it's sometime in like the summertime he announces when it will be. And it's usually in like January or February, if I'm not mistaken.
Ooh.
Let's see here. So I think that Jericho knows pretty soon, like not pretty soon, but I think Jericho finally has accepted that he's not going to get any championships probably again in his career. So I think what he's trying
like
to do
see him
is
get one more. I would like to see if he could.
But I think what's in his cards right now is trying to put over the younger talent and try to build a better future for the industry going forward. And I absolutely love that. I love that, you know, he is taking the time to give these guys a signature win at a young age and give them that momentum boost and that feel good moment. And I think that that's what he's honestly doing. And that's why he's, like I said, the Jobber Nation Jobber of the Week, in my opinion.
I agree with you. I'm not going to disagree because, unfortunately, I the only couple matches I was able to watch, I didn't really. I mean, the Edge, the Copeland.
See, exactly.
Adam Copeland versus Christian, dude, that was such a great match. And
it was. It was. It definitely was.
But that's not. I can't put that under that category, you know? I can't. That's. We've seen that before.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely has.
Or just close. Somebody closed the bedroom door.
Oh, man. All right, Jobber Nation. That does it for this episode of Jobber Club Podcast. Don't forget to like us on our official Facebook page at facebook.com/officialjobberclubpodcast and listen to us on Spotify. Just search Jobber Club Podcast. We're also available on wherever you get your podcast from. Face, got anything to plug?
Well, we are officially affiliated on Twitch. So drop a comment, drop a sub. I mean, come say hi. What's up?
And where can they follow? And what's your handle on Twitch so they can follow you?
It's facegaming_13 on Twitch. Kick. Well, I use Kick sometimes. I don't know. The program's been acting up on my computer. I just kind of whatever. I backburned it. Put it on the back burner for a while. But facegaming_13 and Twitch, TikTok, Discord, Instagram. I don't even know. Like there's too many.
Every platform except Twitter.
Yeah, I mean I have one, but I don't use it. I don't even know the login to it.
Yep. But yes, definitely go over there at Twitch and check out Face when he does do live streams. It does get pretty good over there, you know.
Some of them be good, some of them be wild. The other night I got my first sub, which I thought that was pretty neat. So
oh hell yeah, there you go my guy. So yes, all of our links will be in the description on Spotify and wherever you listen to your podcast.
If you don't know, you do know. Go follow the Jobber Club Facebook, exactly. Spotify.
Yes, sir. Yes,
and Discord. Sir. If you guys want to come follow the Discord, we are. I'm kind of looking for somebody to help make the Discord better because I'm horrible at Discord. I don't know how to do a lot of things.
Yeah, that's us.
I might see if a friend of mine could take a look at it, but I don't know yet. I don't know if he'll be willing to.
Yep. So yeah, we are.
But if you don't know, you do know now.
So yes, all of our links and everything will be in the description, and we will see you guys later, Jobber Nation. Peace.
Deuces.